recording when he dropped.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, like, I wonder if that was a causal function.
William Mulready.
Nuke, could you mute your mic, please?
Sure.
Thanks.
PD old 100.
So I did find one source explaining what, you know, the basic outline of a nursery rhyme is, which I gave to some people in a PDF form, if we wanted to sort of explain the genre of this. The other thing is there is a book that I kept seeing mentioned, if anybody after the recording wants to go get it, which is the Oxford Dictionary of Nursery Rhymes. Like, almost every book I have here on children's literature where I started to look this up was like, that's the book to see, you know. So apparently we should check that one out as well. But if we want to talk a little bit about what a nursery rhyme is, we also have that source that I found earlier today.
It sounds like a good idea.
Yes. Representative Poetry Online. And this is just going to be a pretty much a bulk upload. I downloaded all their sources and I'm now re-uploading them.
So I'll just read a little bit from this source that I found, which is just a detail, sort of introduction to nursery verse in the Norton Anthology of Children's Literature. It says here, nursery verse began to appear in print only in the 18th century when the idea of a special nursery culture, and indeed the idea that infants and young children should have a separate space in the home, started to take hold. In America and England, such verses have become known as Mother Goose rhymes, largely because of historical accident. When Charles Perrault's 1697 collection of fairy tales, I won't try to say it in French, I'll just sound dumb. Stories or Tales of Past Times, was first translated into English in 1729. The title was taken from its frontispiece, an old woman with a rapt audience that was labeled Tales of Mother Goose. Mother Goose had long been associated in France with the teller of children's tales. Perrault himself had titled a smaller collection, Tales of Mother Goose. Soon thereafter, British publishers began collecting and printing the bits and pieces of children's songs and poems that had been circulating orally. The earliest was Mary Cooper's Tommy Thumb's Pretty Songbook. John Newbery offered Mother Goose's melody, and the name stuck. A few traditional Mother Goose rhymes are lullabies, but most are not. So I think maybe we can talk a little bit about how nursery verse began to appear in the 18th century and that sort of thing.
Yes.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
I don't think we should put too much in here since it was originally written for adults, though.
But it migrated. One source said it migrated from adult to the oral culture that this is talking about that then got collected?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We should be careful to make clear this was not originally written for children,
right,
or it will appear we may mislead.
I would really like to find this.
Certainly a lot of that should appear.
Yeah, go ahead.
Certainly a lot of that should appear in the main nursery rhyme article, though.
I would also really like to find something about the poem itself and not about the adaptations. You know? I was looking through Google Books for that a little bit earlier.
Yes. Afraid that I got caught out a little bit. I hadn't been watching the Wiki Voices page, but we had talked about doing this sometime this week. But I only found out 5 hours ago that we were doing it today. So
right, yeah, that's fine. That's why I'm saying we can look now is the thing.
Yes.
So let's see. Everyone else who was on the call here, perhaps you could start looking around a little bit on Google Books to see whether we can find something that talks about this particular poem.
Yes.
got another question. It says that he beat him full sore. Now, does it mean that he beat him painfully, or does it mean that he beat him to the extent that his skin was broken?
Full in this case just is means very. It's an archaic usage. So he beat
but
him
I'm,
until he
I'm
was
looking
very
for the
sore.
Meaning. Yeah, but what is meant by sore in this case? As in, did he beat him really painfully, or did he beat him and broke the skin?
No, it means that he was in pain.
I think it means he was in pain, but I'm not really certain. This is a very good question. This is one of the reasons I'm really glad we have somebody who's not a native English speaker to ask these questions that we kind of assume.
Because the word sore as in broken skin, that is the noun, and that's basically what I would expect it to be. And really, causing pain, that is an adjective.
Well, sore can mean a feeling of pain. It doesn't just mean a physical manifestation of broken skin or breaking out in sores.
Yes. In British usage, which I believe is a bit nearer to this, beat him sore would mean until he felt sore, not until he had sores.
Yeah, I'm looking up in the Oxford English Dictionary the definition under the first definition under adjective for sore is causing or involving bodily pain, painful, grievous, distressing, or severe in this respect. And one of the examples given here from 1655, for example, is the same may also happen after sore labor in childbirth. So like aches, you know, that sort of thing. Interestingly, it also means of sickness, although that definition seems to have gone out of style in the 19th century.
You know, there's an expression that used to be common when I was a little kid that I think has become much less politically correct than it was then, a warning that some little kid, if you're bad, if you do this, you'll get spanked. So you'll get spanked and you'll feel so sore that you can't sit down for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, nobody expects that their bottom is going to really be, you know, their skin would really be broken, or that they wouldn't actually be able to sit down for a week, but it kind of gets the point across, don't do it.
Yes.
Well, so where was that reference about the poem originally being an adult poem, but then becoming part of oral culture?
That's the German fellow, Reich.
I was waiting to break in with that. I typed up that section into Notepad so I could easily like refer to it. I was wondering where that should go. I feel like it doesn't make sense to put that into an adaptation section.
Could you put a sentence about that into the synopsis and structure section with the citation to that, and then I can add on about children's stuff after that?
And if we get enough, we can separate out into its own section.
Okay, yeah.
This coffee's gone cold.
I've created the gallery.
Sorry, go ahead.
I created the gallery. Moved the Knave of Hearts photo into it.
Oh, actually, I'd rather have it in the text than in a gallery, because if I go for future picture credit, if it's in a gallery, that's not good. So it's best to work it into the text if possible.
Yes.
Okay, I'll revert that back, but I'll leave the gallery.
Let's put my stuff into a gallery.
Okay, I'll leave the gallery, but I'll move that.
Let's put my stuff into a gallery. My stuff isn't worth featured credit or anything much more than a gallery in all honesty.
Apart from the featured credit part, actually galleries are pretty discouraged in articles anyway, except for like in articles about artists when you want to show a lot of their works or something. But usually they encourage you to put galleries on Wiki Commons and not in articles.
Which no one goes to.
think that's the case.
And which never get updated, so not entirely
there
sure.
There are some
I agree
beautiful galleries on Commons.
Yeah, there are some beautiful galleries.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's also a lot of very poorly maintained ones.
Well, but that's the true of anything on the wiki. Maintained. I mean, think of the bulk of the articles on Wikipedia, for example, that are poorly maintained. I mean, so Commons is going to be like that, too.
Okay, fair point.
But the basic point about the gallery guideline is that we're not supposed to duplicate the function of Commons.
Yeah, exactly.
If a gallery does something that the Commons cat link, you know, doesn't do well, then that's justifiable. But if it's just a duplicate of Commons, then that's redundant and probably less informative. Yes.
But that's stupid, because you basically want to have loads of pictures on the same subject, and if you have something like a gallery, that works, and people read the article. Now, how do you get to Commons? That's the question.
Well, because there's a Commons link in many of these cases. There's already a Commons link. You know, there's a whole gallery of stuff about this on Commons, and the Commons category is usually much more complete than the Wikipedia. And the Wikipedia gallery is not necessarily the best chosen material out of Commons. I've found it's often, you know, it often underrepresents the quality of what we've really got.
Rather than relying on the Commons, I was going to say, rather than relying on the Commons link at the bottom of the article, sometimes when I've created Commons galleries, like for an article that has a set of illustrated pictures in a children's book or something, I will prominently link the Commons gallery inside the article itself and say, essentially, here is a gallery of pictures, so that you know what is in that link. You know, and I think that that helps people. They don't have to know what Commons is, for example. And that's still taking advantage of the gallery function on Commons and, you know, not duplicating things on Wikipedia. And just all it took was just sort of like rewriting the link function to make it work better.
It's an interesting solution. Well, I'm almost ready here with the King of Hearts. I'm going to be making a few final edits, but that's going to take some concentration. So I'll probably be silent for a bit.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14... Yeah, this is going to be a solo gallery.
Has anyone found any sources on Google Books yet about the poems themselves?
I'm sorry, I would do it. I've been working on this.
But I know, I know. I'm just asking everybody, you know.
Sorry.
We got a lot of people here, so.
Yeah, I shall jump to doing that now. I'm sorry, I haven't had the chance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going
to
add this.
I think
this
it's reasonable to have a section on each of the notable adaptations, Lamb and Carol, don't you?
Maybe a subsection.
I would agree with the subsection, yeah.
Yeah, just set out what it adds to it, summarize how it's used. There's like two chapters in Carol, so it's like, and all based on the poem, so it's a notable enough use that we ought to be explaining it in detail. Since everyone knows Alice.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much we have to explain it. I really want to explain the poems themselves first. I would really like to have some information on that.
Actually, what does Herod have to say to this? You know, if you're not a native English speaker and you haven't necessarily grown up with at least a basic familiarity with Mother Goose and Lewis Carroll, what would you say?
Basically, I've looked at it with a blank. I don't know where to start. It doesn't mean anything to me to start off with. So
this is why I think we need to explain the poem. I don't think we can actually just put the poem in there. So, for example, Harar was saying there were a lot of these words. He wasn't sure how they were used. And, you know, he's not the only one. These are archaic usages, like we were saying. Like, you know, and beat the knave full sore.
Yes.
This is why I think it's a good idea for us to explain what's going on with the poem.
I have to appreciate when you talk about full sore.
Of course.
When you talk about full sword, then the amount of physical violence today is different from what it used to be.